This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning with verse 20. Our Lord said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Let us pray. Our Father, we plead the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ as we endeavor to preach thy precious word. For we know what you have laid upon our heart to speak upon today, and how we need the power of thy Spirit, and a broken heart, and a contrite spirit, and how we need to preach with compassion and with love as we speak upon thy precious word. So we do pray that thou wilt take it home and give each heart that which is needful, as our hearts are turned unto thee by thy Spirit. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Ransom freely gained. Sing no
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our hearts are made happy at God's continued moving among your hearts and my own heart for His continued supply and the need to keep these messages coming to you week after week. And for this we give Him praise and give Him thanks and give Him glory. Our God's good to us. Give us the opportunity to send forth His precious Word. My friend, our book that we're giving away this month that we would be happy that you would write for is a commentary on the book of Hebrews, 201 pages. Next to Revelation, the Epistle to the Hebrews is often the book of the New Testament which Christians neglect the most. But it shouldn't be so, for it is in this book that we find the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ as our great High Priest. Yes, the great High Priest of God's people, able to sympathize with the weakest and save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. We'd be happy to send this book to you free and postpaid so you can study it there in your home with your open Bible. It's by Godfrey Wilson, contemporary writer, and I hardly recommend it unto you, praying that God would use it. Would you write for us? We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Ask for it by name, a commentary on the book of Hebrews. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. My dear friend, if there was one message I had to preach today, it would be this. That the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, views man as a sinner before God for his willful sin in Adam. It teaches that sin is rebellion against God, that it is contrary to the nature of God, that it separates from God. And that sin calls down the wrath of God upon sinful man and necessitates the bloodshedding of God Himself in the person of His Son if it is ever to be put away from the holy eyes of a holy God so that men can return to God and be saved and justified and sanctified before God. I say, my dear friend, if there was one message I had to preach, it would be this. That only the man who is a fool would close his eyes to the fact that the taproot, the basis for our rebellious society, our broken homes, our disobedient children, our God-hating parents, our craze for lust, and sex, and liquor, and dope, laziness and idleness is sin. Yes, sin is man's greatest problem. My dear friend, face the fact of sin. Confess it, repent of it, turn from it, and in faith turn to God's substitute for sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that you have solved every problem that besets you on every hand. I say that if I had one message to preach, I would face fairly and squarely the eternal fact that the taproot of all the trouble in our schools today is sin, rebellion against God. The taproot of all the trouble in our government today is sin, rebellion against God and the authority of His Word. All the ills in our sick society is traced to the taproot of sin. I said sin, rebellion against God and the authority of His Word. The scriptures teach that the taproot of all our neurotic problems today that are filling our jails and hospitals and mental institutions is sin. I said sin, rebellion against God and the authority of His holy word. I say again to everyone who's listening to me, if I had one message to preach, it would be this, that the word of God declares in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Therefore, at the seat of your affections, your desires, your motives, is the taproot of sin, which is rebellion against God and His authority. This means that from within your desperately wicked self comes a cry, I am going to have the right to my life to do as I please, and nobody, I mean nobody, God or man, church or home, government or courts, will tell me what to do. This, my friend, is the essence of sin. The right to myself, and let God keep His hands off, I don't need Him. This, according to God's word, is what is wrong in our society today. Rebellion against God and the authority of His word. My dear friend, I ask you a question. Have you ever faced the eternal fact that this is your heart and this is your trouble? Have you ever faced sin in your life before God? I say that if I had one message to preach, it would be this, that God's word declares in Romans 8:7 that the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, that it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, you by nature hate God, and this is the essence of sin. The whole mind, the whole heart, the whole will of man is set in active rebellion against God. And this being so, then the Word of God expresses this enmity, this hatred, as acts of hostility, walking contrary to God, according to Leviticus 26:21. It pictures this as rebellion against God, Isaiah 1:2, as rising up against God as an enemy, Micah 2:8, as striving and contending with God, Isaiah 45:9, and as despising God, Numbers 11:20. Also being in this state of active rebellion against God, the state of enmity, makes men haters of God and resistors of God and fighters against God, yea, even blasphemers of God, and in short, atheists who say in his heart, no God for me. My friend, if I had one message to preach, it would be this, that the Word of God declares in 1 John 3:4 that sin is the transgression of the law of God. You see, this holy God, law of God contained in the Ten Commandments, the 10 words from Sinai, Exodus 20, shows us the mind of that holy and glorious being who is the God of this universe, the Creator of every creature. And as 1 Timothy 6 tells us, He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. You see, this holy law of God demands us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our strength and with all of our soul and with all of our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This shows us then that the holy law of God is something not only to keep outwardly, but to love inwardly, for our holy God requires truth in the inward parts. And this being so, then the least deviation from this holy law of God in thought, in word or deed,
is in the light of God, according to James 2:10, a breaking of the whole law of God, bringing us on a collision course with a sin-hating, sin-abhorring, sin-punishing God whom we must meet either in mercy or in judgment. And this shows us that cursed is every man which continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do with him. And my friend, man today wants to do away with the law of God, but it's perpetual. You and I cannot do away with it. In fact, when God saves it, He writes it upon our hearts and puts it in our minds. And then when we understand this, this brings us to see the wicked nature of sin, that it is contrary to the holy nature of God. For holiness is the very nature of our living God. Yes, He is holy, without spot or blemish or any such thing. In fact, my dear friend, God is so holy that He cannot sin Himself, nor is He the cause or the author of sin in anyone else. He does not command sin to be committed, for to do so would be contrary to His nature and to His will. He cannot and does not approve any man's sin when it is committed, but He hates it with a perfect hatred. And therefore the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God, says that God is a purer eyes than to behold or approve of sin, and therefore He is without iniquity. You see, on the contrary, as God is holy, altogether holy, and always holy, so is sin sinful, altogether sinful, and always sinful, according to Genesis 6:5. If I had one message to preach, it would be this, that the Word of God declares in Romans 7:18 that in my sinful, corrupt nature there dwelleth no good thing. As in God there is no evil, so in sin there is no good. God is the chiefest of goods, and sin is the chiefest of evils. As no good can be compared with God for goodness, no good can be compared with God for goodness. So no evil can be compared with sin for evil. Yes, sin is against the very nature of God in His holiness. Therefore He hates it. And therefore He must punish it. And therefore He must put it out of His sight forever. And I ask you the question again, my friend, have you ever faced the fact that you stand as a sinner before God? If I had one other message to preach, it would be this, that apart from the blood sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, God cannot deal with sinful man except to cast him out of His presence forever in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Oh, my friend, have you ever, by the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit, face the fact of sin and your sinnership before God? If I had one message to preach, it would be this today, that God does not deal with sin lightly. You see, plainly upon the pages of God's holy writ, it tells us of the consequences of sin and its results and its effect and its end. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin, that sin pays, is eternal death, separation from a holy God. Romans 5:12 tells us that by one man's sin, pride or disobedience, that death, physical death, passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Isaiah 59:1 and 2 tells us that sin has separated us from God and has made fellowship impossible with Him apart from the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, if I had one message to preach today, it would be this, that for one sin, sinners shall be and have been cut off from God. Oh, that I wish you would listen, and may God, by His Spirit, give you a hatred for sin, that he would set off an alarm in your soul today about sin, that you would cry unto God against sin, and you would be turning to God away from sin. You'd be crying unto God for mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'd be pleading his shed blood for the remission of your sins. Listen to me now. For one sin, the sin of disobedience, Adam threw the whole human race into chaos and to confusion, according to Genesis chapter 3. From Adam we received our sinful, totally depraved nature, and we cannot get rid of it apart from the grace of God and the blood-redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, a work effectual in our hearts by God the Holy Spirit. Watch it now. For one sin, and that is the sin of sodomy, Ham brought the curse of God down upon his posterity, according to Genesis 19. For one sin, unbelief, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt, according to Genesis 19. For one sin, the sin of rebellion, Korah and all his crowd were swallowed up by the open earth and went down quickly into the pit alive, according to Numbers 16. For one sin, the sin of anger, Moses was kept out of the promised land, according to Numbers 20. For one sin, the sin of covetousness that led to stealing, Achan and all his family were stoned to death, according to Joshua 7. Oh, my dear friend, are you listening? For one sin, the sin of rebellion, King Saul was rejected and the Lord left him forever, according to 1 Samuel 15. For one sin, the sin of covetousness that led to lying, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, was stricken with leprosy, according to 2 Kings chapter 5. I say for one sin, the sin of betraying the Son of God, Judas was shut out of heaven forever, according to John 13. And for one sin, the sin of covetousness that led to lying, to the Holy Spirit, Ananias and Sapphira were stricken dead by the power of God, according to Acts 5. On and on the scriptures go to tell us that God does not deal lightly with sin. He will and does smite sin where he finds it, even when he found it upon his only Son upon the cross. You see, God must, and he did, pour out wave after wave of his wrath upon Christ. Well, you see, he had undertaken to bear the sins of his people, and when our sins were found upon him, God's anger burned against him, and his wrath smote him, and his justice fell upon him. And I ask you, my dear friend, should you think lightly of sin? With the sword of God's justice hanging over you, should you make a mock of sin? Should you go on being happy-go-lucky? Should you make mirth? Oh, no, my friend. It is only the patience and long-suffering of God that has kept you from already being cast into hell. Romans 2:4 asks the question, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Yes, it has only been the goodness of God that you're not already destroyed for the very same sins that others have committed and were slain. But be sure your sins will find you out. Though the wheels of God's justice grind slowly, they grind. And someday, if the goodness and kindness of God does not lead you to repentance, then surely God will say tonight, your soul shall be required of thee. Come and give an account for your sins. And I ask you, how then shall you stand in that day? If I had one message to preach, it would be this: that every man must stand before God for his own sins, to be judged on the basis of his own sins. There will be no excuses then, no blaming others then, no place to hide. Revelation 20:11 reads concerning that awful day of judgment, that a great white throne will be set, and Christ will sit upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven will flee away, and there shall be found no place to hide. It says, I saw the great, the dead, small and great, stand before God, and my friend, you'll be there. And the books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. My friend, do you hear me? You'll be there. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and you will be there. And then death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. And this is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So then, this is the sequence and final end of all sin, the second death, the lake of fire, separation from God. And therefore, knowing the terror of God, I have one message to preach to you today, and let me persuade you to seek the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He is near. Oh, my dear friend, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You see, dear friend, God in His everlasting love has made it possible that He can be just in justifying poor sinners because He has dealt with sin in the person of His Son upon the cross. In His mercy, He has provided a substitute for poor sinners in His Son. The Lord Jesus came in our nature, born of a woman, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, that He might take His perfect, sinless body and nail it to the cross, so that He might die beneath the sins of His people and bear the eternal wrath of God against His people's sins. This is the good news of the gospel, that you, the sinner, may have life eternal in Christ. That because He shed His precious blood, so that your sin may be washed away, and you may be able to stand before God clothed in His righteousness and cleansed from all of your sins. I say then, the conditions of such a gracious salvation are that you lay down your arms of rebellion. You'd seek the face of God in repentance. And you'd seek the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. And you'd cast yourself upon Him, upon the bleeding, dying form of Him who rose again the third day for your sins. In repentance, you'd take sides with God against yourself and your sins, and in faith you come to cast yourself as a lost, helpless, hopeless sinner upon Christ to save you and to keep you and to provide for you all the days of your life. You come to Him to trust Him and believe Him that all that He has said in His Word against you is true, and all that He said that He has done for you in finishing the work of redemption is true, and that He can be just in justifying when you seek His face and call upon His name and cast your soul upon Him by faith for time and for eternity. If I had one message to preach, it would be this today. Flee from the wrath to come, because it's coming upon your sins. Flee to Christ, who stands with open arms to receive you. Call upon Him. Trust Him. Turn to Him from your sins. Come to Him hating them, abhorring them, crying unto God to have mercy upon you, for He said that He would. And I know that His word is true. You want a copy of this message? We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.